Hello, it's Lisa and Pete with the catch-up.
After 18 days on the run, Sean Adam Newton was arrested by police today at the pub, no less. Rob Scott from Channel 7 was at the North Shore Tavern when it all went down.
Tom Godfrey from choice.com.au gave us alarming information on this massive airbag recall affecting 2.3 million cars across Australia. Take a listen and you can find out to check if it's yours on the list.
And off the back of that chat, we wanted to know what you've had recalled, from exploding hair dryers to kids' toys turning into drugs when wet. There were some amazing stories.
There's only one Lisa, there's only one Pete, and there's only one bank that was just awarded Money Magazine's Bank of the Year 2017. It's Bankwest. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
We cross now to Rob Scott from 7 News and the news that Sean Adam Newton has been arrested. He's got all the details. Hi, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Rob, finally.
Finally, yep. Mm. 2 weeks on the run, he has finally been arrested. I was here as he was taken into custody outside the North Shore Tavern at the Whitford Shopping Centre.
I need to ask you what
Pete's
you were doing.
Looking at me like, oh yeah, no, he was there on authority.
Oh, sure you were.
Proper business.
The sneaky beer or what?
No. We had a tip that something was happening. Lots of police, and as we rolled up on the scene, I straight away realised what was happening. I could see the bald head of Adam Newton, the face that we've seen splashed across the media over the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
I could clearly make him out. He was wearing sunglasses though, but it was obviously him. I've spoken to some people in the tavern who were actually having a beer with him. One was in the courtyard having a smoke, and he said Newton approached him with a beer in hand and sat down next to him and started asking him how his day was. And he said to me he thought the bloke was a bit odd when he scratched his head. His wig moved, and he thought, "Oh, something's up here." And I believe it was someone in the pub, someone in the car park, a member of the public, who, despite that wig, recognised him and called police. I believe that's what happened. And you know, within a couple of minutes, the car park and the pub was crawling with police, who, according to the man who was having a beer with him, walked up to him, took his wig off and said, "Your time's up." Well, he was taken into custody.
Pretty brash, Rob, because, I mean, we understand that last night he possibly was doing another robbery, and then to be having a beer in a pub,
I know,
it's pretty brash.
I thought the same thing, a bold decision for a man whose face has been front-page news for weeks now.
Yeah.
To, despite, you know, having a wig on, making some attempt to disguise himself, he bold decision to come to such a public place where there was a possibility he was going to be recognised, and clearly he was.
Especially when that wig only drew more attention to him, I mean, really.
Yeah.
Rob, did he go easy?
He did. From what I could tell, he didn't say a word.
Right.
He actually gave me a cheeky smile as he was put into the back of the police car.
Right.
Not sure what that was about, but he didn't say a word, and he was, you know, very somber as he was sort of led very slowly around the back of this police vehicle until he was put in the back seat. It was quite a slow march.
Right.
All right, mate. Look, I'm sure we'll see more pictures on 7 News tonight at 6. You better get back inside the tab, mate. Good Your news. Beer's getting warm.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rob.
See you, Rob.
See you later.
Bye. See ya.
So there, if you've just joined us, we just finished talking to Rob Scott from 7 News, and Sean Adam Newton has been arrested this afternoon at
a Mullaloo pub.
Yeah, North Shore Tavern. Wow, unreal. Right now, though, we're going to a Tom in Tom Godfrey from choice.com.au. Good to have you on the show, mate.
Hey, great Tom.
Now, talk to us about this tragic crash that has prompted a massive recall across the country over potentially deadly airbags.
Yeah, look, this is awful. A 58-year-old gentleman in Cabramatta in New South Wales, unfortunately, it was in an accident, airbag deployed, and it's believed that it then fired shrapnel at him, and he died at the scene. And look, the police are still investigating. Earlier in the year, we had a tragic accident in Darwin as well. Again, one of these airbags fired, and unfortunately, the lady is still in Darwin Hospital. The issue here is the airbags use ammonium nitrate. It then burns through the metal canister, and if you have an accident, it explodes. It's literally like a bomb going off. It fires metal shards at you and whoever else is in your car. So it is so, so important that if you have one of the affected cars, and there are 2.3 million out there, that you get in touch with the car manufacturer and get it fixed. If you want to find out how to do it, you can head to productsafety.gov.au. They're all listed there, but you do need to act.
Tom, the way that this airbag is deployed, is that pretty much the stock standard way airbags across the board are deployed in cars, regardless of the safety rating on them?
Oh, look, it was. Certainly, Takata was right at the forefront of it. But the issue here, there are other manufacturers in the market who use different technology. The real problem here is Takata knew about this going back, we believe, until about 2000.
Oh,
the first recall wasn't issued until 2009, and then it was only issued on 4,000 Hondas. Today, we're sitting on 100 million cars around the world, and 2.3 million of those are in Australia. There have been 18 deaths, 180 very serious injuries. This is a major, major problem. And what we found out during our three-month investigation was, if that wasn't bad enough, the car companies, Toyota, Mazda, BMW, Lexus and Subaru, had been refitting the exact same or very similar faulty airbags when people went in to get them fixed.
And you're joking.
A lot of them weren't telling consumers that this was going on. And we just think, given the very real risk of death and serious injury, that's just not on.
Well, they're playing with fire, aren't they, too? I mean, they could be in for a huge lawsuit that...
Yeah, and look, at the moment, this is what they call a minor failure under Australian consumer law, where the manufacturers claim to be able to fix this within a reasonable period of time. But since we announced our findings this morning, we've had people coming to us and saying they've been waiting 2 years to get these airbags fixed.
Wow.
So I think there's a few more rounds to come in this one, because if it's declared a major failure, well, then the game changes. Instead of the car companies calling the shots, you and I, if we're one of the 2.3 million people with one of these faulty airbags, well, we decide if we get repair, replacement, or, of course, a refund.
It's not a minor failure for the person who's still in hospital and the guy that was killed on the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
My thoughts, really, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you, mate.
Thank you, Tom.
No worries, guys.
Thanks. Godfrey from choice.com.au.
Make
just talking,
sure you check out that list.
Yeah, productsafety.gov.au. And the list is just about across every make and manufacturer of... make and manufacturer of vehicles. So, yeah, 2.3 million cars across Australia. Check it out. Look, we want to know...
Recalls. This will be my first.
Yes.
This will be my first ever recall.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you very
much. Pop your recall cherry.
How lovely to do it with an airbag. I mean, you. Speaking of cherries, yours was just those berries a couple of years ago.
Well, it was. I remember when, what was it? I think there was salmonella.
It was literally a couple of weeks before your wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we saw that you may have salmonella because you'd been having smoothies made from those berries.
I was trying to live healthy. And then it's like, actually, no, mate, this could be happening to you.
Liz is like, you get sick, I'm going to kill you.
She said that a lot about a lot of different things through that period. What have you had recalled? This is off the back of the recall that choice.com.au has done today. They're recalling a number of car manufacturers and the airbags that they've installed. It's the Takata airbag.
It's affecting a lot of cars.
T-A-K-A-T-A. And you can see details and check if you've been affected at productsafety.gov.au. You might be one of the 2.3 million across Australia. Jack in Hocking, what have you had recalled, mate?
G'day, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Jack.
I got some Beedo little toys. They're little balls.
Oh, yeah.
Got them from my nieces so they can have, you know, they can make little shapes and stuff out of them, make stars and all stuff. But apparently when they got wet, they turned into fantasy. It's a drug.
Good Lord.
What?
And, you know, little kids are prone to put things in their mouth.
Yeah.
Especially little things like that, yeah.
And then it was on the news that some kids actually got taken to hospital and, you know, got tested, and then the finger was getting pointed at the parents. And they're like, hang on a minute, it wasn't us.
Oh, wow.
So are they still on the market? Like, how did the product recall? Just send them back, you get your money back, that's it?
Said it basically took them back to the store that you got them from, sort of thing. As far as I know, it was a massive recall because everybody realised that they could now go and buy the Beedos instead of going and seeing their friendly drug dealer. And
it's kind of a double pronged story, that one, isn't it? They were recalling them for all sorts of reasons.
Oh wow!
A little bit scary there. Thankfully mine was still unopened. It could have been
worth a fortune
lot
on the street, Jack.
If only.
Jack was caught with a street value of 2.1 million BDs.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, guys.
See you, mate. Dawn and Gidgeganup, what have you had recalled?
I had my washing machine recalled.
Oh,
was it one of the, I think it was the Samsung that went through one not too long ago. Was that it?
Yeah, that's right. And we had, they were catching on fire in people's houses.
Oh.
How did and your,
they,
go on.
They'd say to us, now don't leave your washing machine unattended. You can continue to use it, but don't leave it unattended.
Oh, how comforting.
God.
Sure.
Okay.
So, what they did for me was like a year after they replaced it and fixed it all, and they repaired it, yeah. But then 3 years later, I got a letter saying I needed my machine recalled again. So I contacted them and I said to them, you've already fixed it, you know.
Yeah.
That's no problem. They said to me, no, we need to come and get your washing machine. Do you want a refund or a new machine? And I thought to myself, maybe I'll get a refund and buy a new fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And keep the washing machine anyway. It's been fixed.
So. All right. And just be on standby with a fire hydrant.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. But what I actually returned it and got a brand new one. So the machine was like nearly 4 or 5 years old and they gave me a new machine anyway.
Yeah, so that's not a bad outcome there. And you
swings
know.
And roundabouts.
But I tell you what, I mean, Samsung, they've had a few issues lately with fires and their devices, haven't they?
Yeah.
The Galaxy, for example.
Yes.
Alicia in Bertram, what have you had recalled?
I had my hairdryer recalled, and we actually got so lucky because hubby was just reading the newspaper, and we don't usually check those things.
Well, they're usually hidden in the paper, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and it just happened to be, he's like, oh my gosh, isn't that your hairdryer? And I was like, oh yes, it is, because the funny story is, when I was younger, one actually blew up in my face.
No.
And yeah, literally. And my face was black. My hands were black. I didn't get hurt or anything.
Oh,
but
God.
It just kind of like brought back memories. And
yeah.
You know, I took it back straight away and they gave me the refund. I mean, it was a cheapie, but still. It's,
nonetheless,
you
don't want that
thought.
Happening twice.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, especially if you get hurt or something. You
well, blowing up right next to your head, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, that's right. Especially after using it a lot, you know, almost every
yes.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, I run mine so. Until they almost blow up because they get, you know, they get that sort of red look inside.
I was shocked. I was definitely shocked, and I was just happy he was reading the newspaper that day. So I was like, okay, awesome.
Alicia, do you remember what the brand of it was?
No, I can't recall, but it was one of the major places that
mm-hmm.
you
yeah, right,
get.
Okay.
But it was one of the cheaper brands. But when we went back, I couldn't even swap it over or anything because they literally got rid of all their hair dryers and they only had a traveler hair dryer. And I was like,
hang on, you can't recall a hair dryer and leave a girl with nothing, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I was like, okay, obviously it's fine. I've got to go spend a bit of money, okay?
Thanks, Alicia.
Thanks, all Alicia.
Right,
See ya. Ahead of the MasterChef finale tonight on 10, 7:30, I just need to read back some words that Gary Meehan said last night as you guys were figuring out, you know, whether or not Carly was going to make it through to the grand final. And this, I tell you what, this is the end of the competition where we're at, where you can be told you've got a pretty, sophisticated, edgy, packed full of flavoured dish, your crayfish is cooked perfectly, your dessert is beautiful, but the mandarin syrup was a little bitter. And that's what knocks you out. This is the end of the show. This is it. This is where we're at now with the grand final.
Superb. My mouth is still watering from Diana's rib last night, her ribs, her Wagyu ribs.
That short rib with the puree of roasted cauliflower. Such simple ideas, but so many brilliant flavours. And look, Ben's dessert was amazing. And Carly's main was wonderful. And, you know, look, you know what it was? Because I've talked to her subsequent to that happening. And
yes.
She just said she woke up and she felt like a heart wasn't it. And, you know, and we know that, you know, when you saw all those amazing dishes she put up and then you thought back to the dessert, which was sponge and a puddle, it kind of was, you know, it just wasn't her. It was weird. And it's kind of tragic, but, you know, I'm sure Carly will go on to do amazing things.
Oh.
And we haven't anything that can happen grand final tonight between, you know, a bloke who's probably one of the most improved cooks we've ever seen in the competition and Diana, who's, you know, she's pretty assured, but pressure is a weird beast.
Yes, Diana versus the jawline, as I like to
think. The jawline with the arm.
God,
yeah,
I know.
He is an amazing looking specimen. He's also a beautiful bloke as well, and I think that's what's lovely about him. He's a good lad, and he genuinely cares, which is why you see him kind of put himself through the ringer when the pressure gets hard.
Who doesn't love a guy whose photo of his kids gets him through at the last minute?
Oh, no.
I mean, these guys.
Oh, my God.
Matt, these guys have really stretched themselves this year, haven't they? Like, you know, I saw last night, Shannon said, I don't think even I could do this in this amount of time. And he's looked at him like, am I crazy? No, I'm going to get through it.
I think that's one of the great things about MasterChef is that moment where you just go, you think about it when they come into the competition. You think about the first stuff they cook, saying that first mystery box, and then you forward cast to where they are now, and we're basically asking them to do a pressure test dish for 40 people. I mean, it's an insane request. The only way we can go now is go the other way. We're to take it back to the sort of home food we love, and, you know, as we've seen with, say, when we get them to reinvent a toasted cheese sandwich or a mac and cheese or a souffle or waffles, we get some really interesting MasterChef ideas.
Well, that can be great. I mean, look at Tamara, for example. And by the way, so cute when you gave her the chalkboard.
Oh, do you like that idea?
I loved it. She loved it.
I've been up in Broome quite recently, and I had such a clear image of what she wants to do up there. And she talked about the chalkboard on the camping trips up to Kalalavik and up that way. Mm. So it was a nice thing to do. And, you know, I think the whole thing about our chef is not a total disaster when they go home. You want to make it a joyous moment, a celebration, and anything we can do to kind of turn those tears into, turn those fans upside down.
What's wrong with nice?
Exactly.
Nice is kind of gone out of fashion.
No,
it's kind of the way most people behave. You know,
it's only in
heightened reality TV scenarios that people say the things that perhaps they would normally in real life say they bite their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Matt Preston, we look forward to it, mate. The grand final kicks off tonight, 10:00, 7:30. It's Diana Chan and Ben Ungerman. Have a great night and enjoy the final.
Lisa, Pete, thank you so much for your time. Lovely
talking
to you.
Thanks, Matt.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Lisa and Pete, they're the drive show that's made in Perth. And Bank West are the bank that was just awarded Money Magazine's Bank of the Year 2017.